Today we're going to continue in our series on giving. Giving, the word give. We're using the word give. The word give sparks so many things in our life. And when we give, that it sparks a lot of emotions. It either sparks emotions of, I don't want to give, or do I have to give? Am I supposed to give? Or it sparks emotions of joy. So today we're going to talk about some emotions that come along with giving. We talked about having an open hand, an open heart. Remember us talking about opening up our life to the Lord. Last week we talked about giving up to the Lord, that spirit of giving up our life to Him. And how Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, what, high and exalted, it's caused him to see himself. We look upward to the Lord. That causes me to look inward. When I look inward, I see who I really am, and I confess it to the Lord and find out that He has cleansed me, forgiven me, and then that causes me to go out. It says, Lord, here am I, send me. And so today, we've been talking about giving out forgiveness and how God has called every one of us to give out forgiveness. Today we're going to look at this word give and talk about the thought of restoring the joy of giving. Restoring the joy of giving. I know that in many times in our life that this word, restoring the joy of giving, really is really evident in the church, because even though we have a lot of people who give, sometimes our hearts are really not right about giving, and we really don't have an understanding about why we're giving. Should we be giving? Can I afford to give? Can I not afford to give? Am I giving what I should? Am I a little bit okay? There's a lot of questions out there. And in this, Satan wants to take, we know that Satan comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the things he wants to take from your life when it comes to giving is he wants to take the joy out of giving. Because if he can take the joy out of the giving, you're not going to walk in the blessing that giving has for your life. And if he can take the joy out of giving, he can pretty soon get you to quit giving the way you should, because the joy and the attitude of joy is what sparks in us the blessing that God wants to do through the joy of giving. So we're going to look at this. Let's look at our beginning text today in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts 20 and 35. I have shown you in every way. This is Paul talking. Paul said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he said, it is more what? Blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than receive. This word blessed, when we translate the original meaning out to Greek and come back to the original meaning, the word blessed here actually is the same, joyful. It is more joyful to give than it is to receive. So turn to your neighbor and say, it's more joyful to give than it is to receive. There is something about joy that God wants you to experience, this joy of giving. Blessed means joyful. And today we must learn to restore the joy of giving. And I believe it's got to start in the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, there should be a joy about giving. In the house of the Lord, we must learn to restore this joy of giving. That of all places that we give, there should be a joy about giving in the house of the Lord. There should be a joy that comes along with our giving. And we're talking about learning to restore this. Let me ask you this question. Is giving a joy for you? It's giving a joy for you. And every one of us has to answer that question upon our own. Every one of us has to look in our own heart and say, is giving really a joy for me? Is it a burden or is it a joy? Is it a task or is it a joy? Is it, I do it out of guilt or is it a joy? Do I do it out of obedience? Or I do it out of, okay. You know, it's all right to feel that way when you go to Empire. That's all right to feel that way when you check out of Wally World. But it's not all right to feel that way when we come to church and we give to the Lord. When we're giving to the Lord, there's a joy that comes with our giving that God's wanting to do in our life. So I'm going to talk to you about three aspects of restoring the joy of giving. First of all, I want to talk to you about the joy of tithing. The joy of tithing. Leviticus 27:30. Look what it says. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord. Holy to the Lord. And the word tithe is a word, we get the word 10%. It means a tenth. A tithe is 10%. Now let me ask you this. I really like that God chose 10%. How many glad he didn't choose 8.76%? I mean, we have any teachers in here? Any teachers? Raise your hand if you're here today. How many? We have some math teachers, okay? One of the most exciting things when we're teaching kids to do math, and remember teaching them to do rocket math, and we're teaching them to do learning their times tables, and when they finally get the 10 down, it seems like everything else just kind of speeds up. When the 10 finally clicks, any students here remember when you finally got the 10 down, the 10 tables down, everything else began to click, and you can say, that's easy. Boom, boom, boom. You can name off the 10. And so if I can remember that, you know, 10% of 200 is easy. That's 20. And so if you ask me what is 30% of 200, I can go, well, 10% is 20, and 3 times that would be 60. So 60. It's very easy. It speeds up really fast for us. 10 is a very easy number. 10%, when it clicks with you as a teacher and it clicks in your students and you see that they begin to excel and they can just take that number 10 and run with it and get problems solved faster. And you can, girls, when you're discount in a store, you know what I'm talking about. If it's a 40% off sale, you know exactly like that. With 10% is this times 4. Oh, that's almost half price. Hallelujah. Honey, there's a joy in giving to the Lord. We get a joy about finding the bargain because we figured out that 10's table. But you ever found out in church that 10 sometimes is a hard number in church, isn't it? Some of us haven't figured out what a tithe really is. We give 4% to the Lord, or we'll give 6%, but somehow we just cannot remember that basic elementary of 10%. We have a hard time with 10%. Oh, we can remember it when it comes to sales. We can remember when it comes to getting the 10% raise. But when it comes to writing that offering out, sometimes we have a hard time remembering what 10% is. Now, obviously, I'm being sarcastic here, but you know what I'm saying. We've allowed that joy to come out of our giving. And God says he wants us to give back a tenth of the land. So this is what we got to realize, that all of it belongs to the Lord. According to Scripture, as a Christian, everything I have belongs to the Lord. And the Lord has only asked me to give back the 10% to him. He's asked me to give back. So when you heard that word tithe, when you say we're taking up our tithe and offering, now you know what that tithe actually means. It's a 10% that the Lord is asking us to give back. But the tithe is a test to see if we're willing to bring it or to keep it. I believe that God chose 10% as a number because he was testing us. And I tell you, we've had a problem with this test all along. Let's go back and think about it. Look in the garden. Think about the Garden of Eden. When God set up the Garden of Eden, he gave everything to Adam and Eve, and he said, all but this one tree belongs to me. Just leave this one tree. It belongs to me. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. But you can have everything else. There's plenty here. But give me this part here. And yet, we failed that test, didn't we? I mean, Adam and Eve failed that test miserably. And I believe it started in the garden. It's still here today that we failed that test miserably many times because we see everything as ours. And we're going to hang on to it. And I can't afford to let it go. It takes the joy out of giving our tithe to the Lord. And so today, we got to realize that this is a test, that God is testing you. Do you really trust him? Do you really want to be obedient? How many know that you hear me talking about this every week in the offering time that we talk about? You know, God loves a cheerful giver. And I talk about how God has created for us to have dominion over things of the earth. That's what he said in the scripture, in the book of Genesis. We were created to have what? Man was created to have dominion over things of the earth. But we know in our society that we have allowed that role to reverse. How many know our debt has dominion over us? Our job, our things, our credit card bills, our mortgages, and the climate of our society and what's going on with the economy, all those things drive us, and we're up and down, and we're good, you know. And God says this, those things are not to control you. He says you're to have dominion over the things. Yes, things are important to God, but you're to have dominion. Does God care about your things? Yes, he does. But he wants you to have dominion over them. He does not want your things to have dominion over you. If your car payment is too big, then that thing is having dominion over you. If your house payment is too big, then that thing has dominion over you. If you're running up credit card bills, those things are having dominion over you. They are causing you to stress out. They are causing you to live your life not in a fruitful way. And so when I bring my tithe to the Lord, I'm saying, God, you have blessed me with everything I have, big or small. God, it all belongs to you. And you've asked me to bring back into your storehouse. I'm going to get that in a minute. The tithe. Let's look at that scripture right here. Malachi 3:10. Look what it says here. Bring the whole tithe. What's that mean? That means bring the full 10%. You notice he didn't say bring a sixth of the tithe. He said bring the whole tithe, okay? So how many know we've learned our 10 tables? We understand the scripture right here, okay? Bring the whole 10% into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if it will not open. Look what it says. If I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that you will have not have room enough for it. And what God is saying is this. We see all through Scripture that we are told never to test the Lord. We never say, God, if you're really God, then you do this. God, if you're really God, then you heal my wife. God, if you're really God, then you give me a new car. God, if you're really God, then I'll jump off this building and you catch me. I mean, we command that we are never, ever to put God to the test in that way. We are never allowed to do that in Scripture. We never say, God, if you're God, you do this or you're not God. But when it comes to this one area, God has given us permission. When it comes to our finances, God has said, you feel free to test me. Matter of fact, God puts the battery on his shoulder and says, knock it off. Go ahead. I dare you. I triple dare you. A double-decker, you know, the whole thing. I double dare you, man. That's what God's saying. He said, I dare you. Test me in this avenue of trusting me with your tithe and see if I won't bless you beyond measure. See if I won't bless you and restore back to you. There's a trusting, and there's a joy. And so when we're bringing our offering to the Lord, not our offering, but our tithe to the Lord, we got to realize, first of all, that when we're giving it, we're being obedient to the Lord. We're bringing back what's his. But the joy is this, that we're saying, God, you said I can test you in this, and you're going to prove yourself. God, you're going to take care of the things I have in my life. God, you're going to meet my needs. God, I don't know where my next job's coming from, but God, I know if I'll be faithful and pay my tithe, that God, you're going to take care of me and my family. There's a joy that comes in doing that. There's a joy that we say, God, restoring the joy of tithing. Let's talk about the joy of offering, the joy of giving an offering. Anyone ever notice the difference between an offering and a tithe? You've heard us talk about tithe. You've heard us talk about offerings. So what is the difference between an offering and a tithe? Let's explain it. Of course, a tithe is returning back to the Lord what is already his, okay? We return back. A tithe is 10%. We're returning back to the Lord what is already his. An offering is giving part of the 90% that God's already gave me. When I give above the tithe, I'm giving an offering to the Lord. So sometimes God will ask me, sometimes I feel led, all right, God, I'm bringing a tithe to you, and I'm giving this to the local storehouse. But sometimes maybe I want to support a missionary, or I want to give toward the youth department, or I want to do this or that, and I'm giving above that. That becomes an offering to the Lord. Or some of you get paid once a month, and so you'll pay your tithes once a month, but you'd like to be a part of the offering, so you'll bring an offering every week, and you'll place a little more in the offering every week because you just want to be a part of giving. That's giving offerings to the Lord. It's above and beyond our tithe, okay? And so there's a joy that comes with giving of offerings, because when you give of the offerings, God didn't tell you you had to do that. He didn't say you had to do this. He said we're supposed to bring the tithe. We don't have to do the other. When we do it, it's an act of saying, God, I just want to bless your kingdom. God, I just want to bless because you have blessed me with so much. God, because you have given me, I in return want to give out. It's a spirit of giving. I believe it pleases the Lord because it goes back to breaking that spirit of selfishness. It goes back to breaking that spirit of a miser spirit that we carry around in our life. You've heard me talk about this many times, how we are all naturally born selfish people. And so when we learn to give our offerings to the Lord, it's not because I have to, it's because I want to. It's not because someone's making me do it. It's not even because I'm being obedient to Scripture. It's because I just want to be a blessing. It's breaking that spirit of being selfish and say, God, I'm just going to plant some seed into you. You ever had someone, let me give you a hypothetical question here. What if my daughter came to me and she said, Dad, I'm 16, almost 17, and I'm working, and, you know, I'm not always around you and Mom, and, you know, sometimes what happens if I run out of gas or there's not enough food? And I say, all right, honey, here's my credit card, but you can only use it in emergencies. If you're starving and you need something to eat, here, you can feel free to pay for your food, okay? If you're out of gas and you need to hold over until, you know, you get paid, all right, you can put a little bit of gas, but I put limits on her. And I give her this card and let her know the responsibility behind this card. And when I get the card back, I look at it and I find a tab from Applebee's for $75. And I go to Red Lobster and find out she spent $80 at Red Lobster. And I look at it and say, all right, and you went to the Japanese steakhouse and you spent $120. Now, honey, I know you can eat a lot. Angel. But I know you're not eating $75 worth of food. I know you're not eating $80 worth of food. And she says, Dad, I've been having to buy some food for my friends because they didn't have any money. But it's okay because they've been paying me back. I look at her, that's fine and dandy, but I'm the one paying the bill. Well, Dad, you taught me to be a giver. Just be a giver, Dad. Come on. Follow your own sermon. You have a joy about blessing these kids with dinner. See, there's something about giving when it's easy to give when it's somebody else's, isn't it? It's hard to give when it's yours. And really, that spirit, let me say one, this it works both ways. Number one, you know that if we realize that everything belongs to the Lord, it's easier to give it away. It really is. When you have that attitude, everything I have belongs to the Lord, it's easier to give offerings to the Lord because it belongs to Him anyway. It's all right. It's on Dad's tab, okay? It's on Dad's tab. It's Dad's. Yeah, He's giving me the card. That's all right, but it's on Dad. But also, how many know it's sometimes God wants you to give of yourself. You know, the spirit, the real spirit of giving is when I give what belongs to me. Is she to open up her purse and pull out a $20 bill and pay for someone's dinner? That would have been a lot more about the spirit of giving. And say, my dad will pay for it, okay? And so we got to realize in our heart that God is wanting us to have this joy in giving the offerings to the Lord. It's offering ourselves to the Lord. Look what Philippians says in 4, verse 13 through 19. This is, I'll tell you what, one of the most popular scriptures in the Bible that we use all the time. It's this scripture right here. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Look what it says then. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. This is Paul talking to the Philippian church. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, his first missionary trip, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even the Thessalonica, they sent aid once again for my necessities. Look what it says here. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full of having received from Epaphroditus. Say that again. That's why we don't preach on this chapter very much. I figure realize why that we never hear this taught in church. We hear verse 13, and we're going to hear verse 19, but we never hear in between, and we're finding out right now, because no one likes to say these names. These things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now look at this. We say verse 13 all the time. I can do all things through Christ. Who what? Strengthens me. And we say this all the time. My God shall supply all my needs. And we get excited. And we say this scripture. But we never talk about the in-between. How are they linked together? The link between was this. Paul was saying, man, you were blessing me with offerings. These were not the tithe, but you were sending me offerings as a missionary. You were blessing me, sending out of your abundance. He said they sent this offering. It was sweet smelling aroma. I think that was fresh chocolate chip cookies myself. I don't know if it is or not. But it was something sweet. He says, a sweet smelling aroma. It was pleasing to the Lord. They were helping support the missionary along his journeys. They were giving out of the offering, not just their tithe, but they were giving above and beyond supporting this ministry. And Paul says, man, I can accomplish all these things through Christ who strengthens me. Because, man, you guys are blessing. You're supporting the ministry. And then he says to you in return, when you give out his offerings, then God's going to supply your needs according to his riches and glory. Just like out of your riches you're taking and supplying the needs and helping the ministry out, in return, God says he's going to take care of your needs as well. And so there's a joy about helping the Lord. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under consumption, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful here, as we look at the original meaning of this, it actually becomes the Greek word hilaros. Hilaros, which is where we get the root of the word what? Hilarious. So we look at this and say, God loves a hilarious giver. God loves a hilarious giver. You ever thought about that? I mean, why would God say that he loves a hilarious giver? Let me ask you this. Has God ever asked you to give something and you're like, you want me to give what, God? And you laugh about it. Okay, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. But, you know, it's in that thought that, you know, that God sometimes asks you to give something that seems wild and seems crazy. I remember one time when someone had given me a car. This is no lie. Someone gave me a car. It wasn't a great car. But at the time, I was going to use that car, and I was going to trade in with the old clunker I had, and I was going to get both cars sold and try to get me a better car. We had just gotten married, and someone had blessed me with it. And I found out somebody else needed the car really bad, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to give that car away. That's why I gave it to you, so you can be a blessing to them. And I'm like, what? You know how long it's going to take me to get enough money? And I was laughing, Lord, you don't want to give that car away? And that person had went through bankruptcy, and they lost everything they had, and so when I gave it to them, it became the sole transportation. This person went from a Cadillac down to, like, you know, 1989 Ferrari, all those things. But I give it to them, and they were so happy, and it ministered to them so much, you know, and I just remember the blessing of being able to bless them. And I remember the tears rolling down their face, and God did so much. There was a joy that came with giving, but it was hilarious to me that God asked me to give it. I'm like, give away a car? I don't give away a car for nothing. You want me to give away a car? I remember one time we had a transmission go out. We had just bought an Expedition, and it was wintertime, and I was really trying to show off. And so I was going around helping people out. They were stuck in the ditch, and someone had come to me and said, hey, Pastor Gene, we're stuck down the road from you. Can you come pull us out? One of the college students out driving around, and she'd been driving around. It was really bad, you know what I'm talking about? So I went and got a chain, and I put it in four-wheel drive and pulled them out the ditch. And when I got ready to put back in the drive, it wouldn't go out. It wouldn't go back in. It was stuck, and it had busted the transmission up. So, all right, guy, I'm here doing the work of the ministry, helping out my neighbor. And I bust my transmission, and they tell me it's going to be $3,000 to fix my transmission. And I didn't have $3,000 to fix my transmission. And my wife and I, we were trying to do away with our credit cards. We'd already cut up all our credit cards. I didn't have the resources to take this. And I remember being frustrated because we had a car, our good car, family car, was in the shop, needed $3,000 to fix. And I could only get my hands on about $700 or $800. That's all I could get my hands on at the time. And I was like, good Lord, I'm not going to ask my dad for this money because, you know, he's tight. Yes, I know you listen to this on the internet, Dad. And so that's the thought I had. And so I'm thinking about this he would have helped me, but, you know, I had too much pride. And so I'm thinking, God, I just, you know, I'm upset. And I was in church one, and I remember having this thought. I was so upset. And the Lord looked at me and said, Gene, I want you to look at your seed, not at your need. Quit looking at your need and look at your seed. I go, what do you mean, God? He goes, how much money you got? And I told him how much I had in my bank. He said, all right, I want you to give it all today. All right, God, I don't have $3,000 to fix my transmission for nothing, and you're asking me to give the $600 or $700 I have. I mean, maybe I can at least give the $600 or $700 to the guy. He'll get started, and he'll work out a payment system or something, you know. But you want me to give away everything I have? And I remember laughing at the Lord, saying, ha! God, you know what I got in front of me? I can't give this. I'll give my tithe. I can't give this. You're asking me to empty out everything I have. And the Lord said, I'm just telling you, look at your need, or you're going to look at your seed. And so I remember writing out the check. My wife thought I was crazy. I didn't actually tell her until after church. And I wrote everything I had, and I emptied our bank account out in the offering. Before I left that way, two people come and say, the Lord told me to tell you this. Do you have a need in your life? One person said, hey, I heard that your car was in the shop. He goes, whatever the bill is, you tell them the bill to me. Before I left that day, two people come up and said, I want to bless you. I mean, you talk about being obedient. Sometimes it's a hilarious gift that moves the heart of the Lord. It's that hilarious giving that we say, God, sometimes you're asking me to go above and beyond. And sometimes it's that $50 or $100 you don't have, and God asks you to give it to a missionary, or asks you to give it to a youth project, or asks you to give it, and you're like, I don't know. That's hilarious, God. But, you know, sometimes God wants you to be a hilarious giver. Sometimes he wants you to do that. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do that, and I'm not going to press you to that, but when you open up your heart and have a spirit, sometimes God will do that. And believe me, he will bless you. He will bless you time and time and time again. God blesses that, and there's a joy that comes with giving. The last thing we'll look at is the joy of over and above. The joy of over and above. Look what 1 Chronicles 29:3 says. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God. Over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. My own special treasure of gold and silver. Now, David was talking about here that we have got to, first of all, realize that we know that there is an affection in the house of the Lord, that we know that God was calling them to the house of David to give above and beyond. And he said, I've given what's holy to the Lord. He's talking about his tithe. I've given my tithe, but there's an offering that he gave. He said it was above and beyond. Because why? But why did he give that offering? It was above and beyond. Because I have set my affection on the house of my God. Let me say this to you, that you'll give to what your affection is. That's plain and simple, isn't it? Some of you husbands, you'll gripe and complain when your wife comes home with a new pair of shoes. We couldn't afford that. Ah! You're killing me, woman. You spent $40 on a pair of shoes. Oh, my mom had the same pair in the closet. I could have got them for free. And we'll throw a big fit. Ah, you got enough shoes. You don't need any more shoes. We cannot afford shoes this week. This is coming out of your snack budget, woman. You're drinking water for a whole month to pay for this. No more Starbucks for you. You just stick to the budget. Oh, but we'll come with a new putter the next day. Hey, oh, honey, it was on sale, and I really needed this. Yeah, I know I spent $140 on this putter, but I really, it's okay when it's a thing that you love, isn't it? It's okay to spend that thing when it's something that you love. We are great about this. We give our money to our affection. And so when your affection is upon the house of the Lord, some of you are going to get this today when I'm talking about. When your affection is to God, I want to see your kingdom advance. God, I want to see the gospel spread. God, I want to build your kingdom on this earth. God, when your heart is set upon God above and beyond, better than I like golf, better than I like anything else, shoes, I like advancing the kingdom of God. And when my heart is set my affection upon the house of the Lord, I want to give above and beyond. I want to give it out. And look what he says here. Go down to verse 16 to 17. Oh Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for a building for your temple, for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you have, what? You test. Look what he says, the test again, that we're tested. You have test the heart and are pleased with the integrity, talking of his people. All these things have I've given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with what? Joy. How willing your people who are here have given to you. There's a joy that came. They put their affection upon the house of the Lord, and they said, we're going to sacrifice. We're going to bring up what we own. We're going to give of our increase. We're going to give above and beyond. Not just the first fruits that God has asked us to give. Not just the 10%. We're going to give above and beyond because our affection was set upon the house of the Lord. And they knew their resources would never dry up. When you give to the Lord, in Scripture, we can go through story. I'm not going to take time this morning. We can go through story and story again and find out when people gave offerings to the Lord above their tithe and offering, that when they blessed and gave out of their heart, that remember the woman who gave the little oil and she made the last little bit meal for the prophet. What happened? Her pot never went empty again. She thought she was preparing the last meal and her son were going to die. But when she did that and gave it to the Lord, her pot never went empty again. She always had plenty of oil. She always had plenty of food for her and her son. Everybody else was in the famine. She experienced abundance. We see this principle time and time again. Because where your affection is, there will you place your resources. And so for us, to restore the joy back in tithing, to restore the joy back in offerings, to restore the joy back in giving a hilarious gift, giving above and beyond, to restore the joy back comes with setting my heart upon the house of the Lord. I've got to see, you know what? I want to advance the kingdom of God beyond all measure. I want to give back because the more I give, the more the gospel is going to be spread, the more things we can do to reach out to people. And I see that and I set that. We know he says, bring the storehouse, bring our tithe and wine into the storehouse. He says, then he will open up the floodgates. The storehouse belongs where? Storehouse always translates out to the local church. That we're always called to bring our tithe into the local church. Listen, you're never called to give your tithe to a national ministry. That's not your local church. If you want to give of that, I'm great. Bless it. I give to a lot of ministries. I've given, and also, that's okay. Give your offerings to them. Give support to missionaries. Give support. But your tithe always belongs to your local church. That's where God has told us to do that. So it's a pattern that he's setting for us. And God wants to restore the joy of giving. As the musicians are coming this morning, I want our ushers to pass out our tithe and offering envelopes. Don't clap yet. We're going to clap in just a second. Some of you were getting ready to clap. I know you was. I remember before we started Destiny Church, a couple families went with me, and we went to Tulsa, to a church in Tulsa. It was a big church. It was real similar to this in style, and I knew that I wanted, just wanted to go and check out and see what they were doing things, if I get any ideas before we started church. Come here, Mike. Mike Scott. Mike Scott was with me that day. Actually, Mike and you and Tanya were sitting right in front of me. I'll never forget that day because you were sitting right in front of me. And when it got time to take up the offering, I said, it's time to take up the offering. And the place erupted in this great cheer, clap. And in my heart, it's like you just feel the spirit of giving be released throughout that place. I mean, and I looked at Mike and I said, at Destiny Church, we're going to do that. We're going to start that at our church. When we start a church, we're going to do that. Remember me saying that to you? And we have started that. For the very first time we've met, we've started this principle of clapping when we give. And sometimes today you may think, well, why does he want us to clap every single week? Every single week, we got to clap over the same thing. And it can become mundane to you. But today I want you to see the spirit behind what we're doing. That when we clap unto the Lord when it's time to give, that we're saying, God, it's a joy to give. God, we're affectionate about giving to you. God, we're affectionate. We're setting our affections upon the house of the Lord. Lord, we're being obedient. We know that, God, you're going to bless us. But, God, more importantly, we know that we are giving back to you what you've given to us. Now, today, you hear a lot of pastors preach this, and maybe you think we're going to take up a special offering or something. We're not taking a special offering for anything. We're not behind, and I'm not trying to raise money today. I'm not trying to raise money for anything. I'm just trying to simply release in this house a spirit of giving and the joy back behind that. And many of you are giving already, and I thank you so much. Man, you just pleases me as your pastor that you've been faithful. Many, many of you are faithful in your giving. Some of you have been really close, and you're giving here and there. I just encourage you, man, go over the top, man. Trust God. Test God in this. Test God in this and knowing that, man, he is wanting you to test him when it comes to your giving. Some of you are just getting married. I say, man, what a great way to start off your marriage saying, you know what, we're going to establish in our household that we're going to give back to the Lord right away. We're going to ask his blessing to be upon our, not only our marriage, but in our finances. We're going to start it off right. We're going to bless the Lord. We're going to honor him. So today, knowing that when we clap and we're cheering to the Lord, what are we doing? We're breaking in the spirit realm a selfish spirit. We're breaking a selfish spirit. We're breaking a misery spirit. It says, God, we're setting our affection upon the Lord. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. How many know what time it is right now? It's time to give. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, bless the Lord. Set your affection upon the Lord. God, we're setting our affection upon you. We're setting our affection upon you, God. We want to spread the gospel, man. We want to be free in our giving. Today, we're going to bring our offerings to the Lord. We're going to celebrate with one more song today. So as we celebrate this song, I want you to bring your offering and say, God, I willingly bring my offering to you, God. I want to break this spirit of selfishness in my life, over my household. And God, we want to release a spirit of giving and blessing, a joyful spirit in our release. Come, let us worship the Lord together.
The glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord of the Lord.
mail today that God wants to let His glory arise among us. I tell you, when we open up our heart to the Lord, say, God, I'm putting my affection upon You. God, I'm returning back what You blessed me. God, I'm putting my trust in You. I tell you, that leaves us vulnerable. That leaves us in a place of faith. Says, God, I'm trusting You in every area of my life. And that just abandoning ourselves to the Lord, say, God, man, I want to grow in You. God, I want everything You have for me and my family. We want to put our heart, our affections, set upon the house of the Lord. We want to be a blessing to ministries. I tell you what, you know what we do? Many of you may not know, it's a Destiny Church. Everything that comes in, 10% of what comes in goes back out. 10% goes back out. We just don't keep it in-house. 10% goes out to support missionaries, home church plans, evangelism. It goes out. We partner with four square churches, 30,000 churches worldwide. We're giving back, supporting missionaries. So Tim, I'm not asking you to do anything we're not doing as a church. We're doing as a church, we're tithing back as well. We tithe back as well. We're giving it out. So I'll tell you what, we celebrate. We're breaking the selfish spirit. How many of God is breaking the selfish spirit in us? Remember, there's freedom. When we learn to give our life away in every area, there's a freedom that comes in Christ. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you today, and then we're going to be free to be dismissed today. So let's do this. God, right now, Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You, every person here, Father. I thank You, God, in us. Lord, You are setting us free. God, we're learning to trust You, God, in every area of our life, including our finances. Sometimes that's the toughest one, God. But today, I believe today that, God, You are setting free. God, I pray a Destiny Church will look back at this service. Today is being a new day. What a breaking, Lord. It's a spirit of selfishness, God, and allowing that full spirit, God, of joy to overtake everything we do. That when we clap, it's just not out of habit, but, God, it's a celebration, God, of knowing that, God, we are cheerful because we have set our heart upon the Lord. We have put our affections upon the Lord. And, God, we want to advance Your kingdom. God, through us, Lord, through our will, our mind, our emotions, through our resources, our time, our talent, our treasure. God, everything we have belongs to You, Lord, and we give it to the Lord, and we say together, amen, amen. God bless you today. Find a home group tonight. Be a part.
Let the praise of the Lord.